This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello, and welcome to Long Shots Golf Betting Podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds coming to you for the Sanderson Farms and the Dunhill. Yeah, we're doubling up on you guys this week. Did you even know there were two golf tournaments going on? Well, there is, and we're going to talk about both of them. By we mean Wes Reynolds. So we're going to sit here and give you some thoughts. Kelly, we at least have a couple of thoughts on Sanderson, but we're definitely going to defer the Alfred Dunhill to our good friend Wes.
That's absolutely right. But like you said, the 2-for-1 long shot special, that is something special for you guys here in the fall. Two tournaments, one podcast. You don't even have to wait 14 hours or whatever for the second one.
Don't have
one.
To do any of that stuff. You don't have to sit there. You, listen, if you don't want to listen to the Alfred Dunhill part, you don't want to listen to Sanderson part, hey, it's fine. It's up to you. You know, skip it. Who cares? Like, you know, it is what it is. We're all here on the same pod. But Wes, we bring up the Alfred Dunhill just because there are some very familiar players, big names over there. We're talking Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Brooks Koepka. The list goes on and on. So definitely a tournament to pay attention to.
Yeah, way better field this week, of course. Not a lot of American representation. The Americans, who, of course, won the President's Cup for the 10th time in a row, really pulled away on Sunday. So ended up being a small plus for me. Xander got a three-way chop as the low American scorer, but dominant performance by the Americans. So a lot of those American and a lot of the international players on that team really not playing anywhere around the world, but there are a lot of big-time European players playing here in the Alfred Dunhill links. One of the reasons too is because they have to play a certain amount of events on the DP World Tour to be eligible for Ryder Cup consideration. John Rahm, by the way, looked like he was going to get his fourth Open de España title last week, but he got beat in the playoff by the number 398th player in the world, Angel Hidalgo, who actually had the lead and should have won the tournament, and then missed kind of an easy putt on 18. So it's like, oh man, here we go. The pressure got to him, but he beats John Rahm on the second hole of the playoff. Rahm, by the way, is here this week along with Rory McIlroy. They're the co-favorites, about plus 650. You mentioned Matt, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry, Billy Horschel won at Wentworth a couple weeks ago, Brooks Koepka, Robert McIntyre, Alex Noren, Matt Fitzpatrick, the returning champion here at the Dunhill Links. So this is a big-time field. This is a really good field. And if you're not familiar with the format here, it's very much kind of like the European version of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And they started this back in 01, where you have a professional who plays with an amateur, and there are some celebrities in this field, and dignitaries, businessmen. We were kind of joking before we started that PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, actually on one of the days, is grouped with the leader of the PIF, the public investment fund, Yassir. Don't ask me how to pronounce his last name, but he's the guy that's funding LIV, basically. So that'll be interesting. And then Rory McIlroy, part of the groups with those two on a couple of the days. So you have a three-course rotation here. You have the old course at St. Andrews, you have Carnoustie, and you have Kings Barnes. And then after the cut is made for both the professionals and the pro-am portion, they all play St. Andrews on Sunday. So, you know, just looking at the courses, Kings Barnes probably the easiest of the three. It's the shortest course at 72-27. So this is where they can score. Carnoustie, probably the most difficult of the three. We've seen it played in the Open Championship, which 8-under was the winning score over 4 days back in 2018, Francesco Molinari. So you might be able to find, if you play in play, like good value on the players that play Carnoustie first on Thursday, because they're going to be a little bit down the leaderboard because it's harder. And then St. Andrews, of course, very familiar with that. It's hosted the Open more than any other course. It hosts basically every 5 years. So three-course rota, and then St. Andrews on Sunday.
Having played all three of those this summer, guys, let me give you the breakdown of how that goes. having played Kings Barnes and Carnoustie and St. Andrews this summer, let me give you the breakdown of the courses. No,
were you able to find the fairway a little easier on one than others?
I will say this, though. Kings Barnes, I got the full Scotland weather experience for Kings Barnes. So that one was that was a rough round. That was the wind sideways, rain, wind, sideways rain smacking you in the face, like the whole nine yards, like that. I got the full experience on that one. Carnoustie, actually, caddy told me while I was playing there, that it was one of the 10 best weather days of the year. So like, I actually like played Carnoustie in fairly calm conditions. So it was,
had he been counting them or something? Like, well, like, yeah, you know, took out like his notepad.
Yeah, like, it's like his estimate, you know, he's basically saying like, cause like we only had like winds of like 12 to 17 miles an hour or whatever with like gusts just barely into the 20s. And he's like, man, it's usually like 20 steady and then like gusts into like, you know, 25, 30, 40 sometimes and shit like that. So yeah, it was fairly calm. That said, I did still find that whole course though. I did find a lot of that course. I can tell you that even without the wind being all that crazy. If you guys are wondering, Alfred Dunhill, September 30th, 1872 to January the 2nd, 1959, an English tobacconist, entrepreneur and inventor. The Alfred Dunhill Limited Company is a London-based luxury goods company owned by the Swiss company Richemont and the Dunhill Tobacco Products Company owned by British American Tobacco. So from 1893, Dunhill ran a company selling motoring accessories, and in 1902 opened a shop in Mayfair. It goes on and on about all the different things that he did. So Alfred Dunhill, basically professional rich guy. If anyone was wondering.
That was quite a resume there.
He's done it all, and that is why you get a golf tournament named after you whenever.
Don't they have the little Dunhill cigarettes? Weren't those a thing? Or maybe it's a different guy, but it's probably not. Now that you're talking about that, a tobaccoist?
It said tobacconist, but I don't know.
I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I felt compelled to read it, because I was sitting there like reading up his, like looking at his bio, and I'm like, tobacconist? I didn't know tobacconist. That was a tobacconist. So there we go.
Solid breakdown by Wes. Matt and I distracting as usual. I will say PSA, that with the three courses, be very careful if you're betting first round leader or something, that you know exactly what you're betting this week. This is one that that market always applies for when you have multiple courses in the works.
And these are long days too, because of the pro-am portion of it. You know, some of the names that are going to be playing, a few name actors, Michael Douglas, Andy Garcia playing in this, Gareth Bale, the soccer legend, John Elway. In this field, Huey Lewis, Bill Murray,
John Elway.
Yeah, well, he's not running the Broncos anymore, so he got time to play some golf. He was just on The Masked Singer, apparently, last week, first eliminated.
John Elway was on The Masked Singer?
He was. He was the first to be unmasked. Yeah, I just happened to flip it over last week and saw him. But Huey Lewis in this field, Bill Murray, Piers Morgan, a lot of former soccer and rugby stars, Kelly Slater, the longtime surfing champion. And then you do have a lot of guys playing with their dads this week. Rory McIlroy playing with his dad, Robert McIntyre playing with his father, Tyrrell Hatton playing with his father. And the winner of the Pro-Am here last year, by the way, were the Fitzpatricks, Matt and Sue Fitzpatrick. Matt's mom won this Pro-Am in this weather shortened event last week. So, you know, fun event, very, very Pebble Beach-ish. Very long days for these players with these amateurs.
So Wes, if we look at the odds board here, everybody can probably imagine. Yes, Rory and John Rahm, your favorites here, 6-1. Tyrrell Hatton only 10-1 though. Fleetwood 11. Koepka is at 18. Lowry at 20. McIntyre and Alex Noren both at 22. Billy Horschel's at 25, and everybody else 30-1 or longer. As you did your research and started getting your card down, what ended up making your account?
Well, despite the fact that 14 of the last 22 winners were from the United Kingdom, and I have a few of those on the card, I'm going to start with an American. And that's Brooks Koepka, 22-1, who hasn't played here since 2017, but he's got three top tens in his last three starts here, plus was top 10 in St. Andrews at the Open in 2015. Beat Rahm several weeks ago at Live Greenbrier 6 in Chicago, and then beat Kevin Na in a match play 6-5 in what they have as the team championship, but his team kind of let him down. Look, Brooks Koepka loves St. Andrews. He calls it his favorite course in the world, and he's usually motivated, of course, by the major championships, but this is one I think Brooks will get his juices going for, because he wants to win at St. Andrews, the home of golf, you know, arguably the most iconic course in the world, certainly in terms of history. But yeah, I think he'll be plenty motivated here. So I put Brooks Koepka 22-1. And then a little bit of a blast from the past here at St. Andrews. I got it actually as one here at St. Andrews, 2010, when he won the Claret Jug at the Open, Louis Oosthuizen at 40-1, who actually, it seems like he's fallen off the face of the map because he's on LIV and just not playing as much golf, but 8 top 10s in 14 events this year, 2 runners up. Won a couple in South Africa at the end of last year in December. So right now he's actually currently out of the majors, except for the Open, where you can play forever. You're eligible until you're 60. So, you know, he's here. He wants to get back in all the majors and improve that world ranking, and winning an event like this certainly would do that. So Louis Oosthuizen, 40-1. Grant Forrest, 66-1. He was T3 in Madrid last week at the Open de España. 5th at the Irish Open at Royal County Down 3 weeks ago. 10th here at the Dunhill Links his last 2 years. So he's pretty good on links. Has actually won nearby at Fairmont St. Andrews, which is in between the old course at St. Andrews and Kings Barnes. Sits on the coast. So certainly.
Already, I played that one too when I was here.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, just let y'all know. Yeah, yes. I played that one as well.
Yeah. It hosted an event.
I stayed there. That was where I stayed when I was over there. So the course was in my backyard.
Nice. Wow. Nice. Yeah. Forrest is a winner here. So, you know, and in between all these courses. So, there's a ton of courses. That's like a bucket list trip that Bat took earlier this summer.
Don't worry. Just jetted over to the French Open afterward to catch a few.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm taking a trip to San Diego this weekend. Alex Fitzpatrick, I do have a Fitzpatrick on the card, not the defending champion, but I went with the younger brother, Alex, 75-1. Pretty good experience on links, was 17th at the Open at Royal Liverpool last year, 10th at the Irish Open just 3 weeks ago. So thought it was worth a price. And I did go with a couple bombs actually here this week. You have had bombs, despite the fact that you have such class in the field and you're tempted to go chalky, chalky, chalky. You really want to go with some guys a little down the board. And I did as well with Callum Hill. 125-1, top 25 in 3 or 4 appearances in this event, 7th at the Irish Open after 54 holes 3 weeks ago, and then disappointed on Sunday. And then if you paid attention to the Open earlier this summer, which was won by Xander Schauffele, a guy that was in contention pretty much all weekend before he finished 10th, ended up finishing T10 on Sunday. Daniel Brown, who was the first round leader at the Open at Royal Troon earlier this year, was making his major championship debut. 150-1 this week. He was 4th 3 weeks ago at the Irish Open at Royal County Down. And then I'm going back to my grocery delivery driver that I played a lot this year. I'm going back to Joe Dean at 200-1, looking for his first win. Now, usually the trend is not your friend in that regard, because you got guys that typically have won on the DP World Tour that are, you know, are kind of class players. But this guy's got 5 top fives this year, including last week in Spain. So Joe Dean, you're getting a drift here at 200-1 because of the quality in the field. You could have some bombs. Look, Danny Willett won here a couple of years ago at 100-1. Victor Perez won at 175. Chorborn Olsen at 200-1. Oliver Wilson at 500-1. So you don't just necessarily get the chalky guys here.
Wes loves him some Joe Dean. I don't know about you, Matt. I will say my just immediate takeaways from the odds board. It feels like value at the top, or I would look long shots. That kind of middle range feels pretty gross with some of those names and the odds you're getting on them.
Hey, Kelly, me and you, since we didn't handicap this one, let's just have some fun. You and I are going to have a $20 head-to-head on who finishes best. You have to pick a golfer that's 251 or longer over on DraftKings right now.
Okay, no problem. I will...
You're obviously going like solely based off their name, because they have some awesome names in this. Like I already see who I'm going
with. I know
who
you're getting. No, I'm going to go first then. Nacho. Give me Nacho, baby, because that's exactly who you're going to take. That's why you started at 250-1.
It isn't because I love this name better. Callum Shinkwin.
All right,
C-A-L-U-M-S-H-I-N-K-W-I-N. Callum Shinkwin.
That's my most painful golf beat ever with Callum Shinkwin, actually. Several years ago at the Scottish Open when I had him 300-1 and he was going to win, and he misses a 4-footer where he would have won in regulation, and then goes into a playoff and Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who had finished like 3 hours before, beats him in the playoffs. So that was one of my more painful outright beats, Callum Shanklin. But this is an Englishman. Look, he's certainly capable. You know, there are guys that, you know, you just don't want to go, I'm going to go Rory, Rahm, Hatton, Fleetwood, you know, and just go all chalk. You want to go down the board here with these guys.
500 to 1 Maximilian Rotluff. How do you like that, Kelly?
That's a good one. I like Rob Rock though. That's two above him on the Robert Rock.
Who sounds tired?
Yeah, just Rob Rock. Let's get that going over there as well. Anyway, guys, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship played on a course rotation over there in Scotland. Rory, John Rahm, Hatton, Fleetwood, all those guys at the top. Wes's card, of course, over at VEASAN.com as well. We'll make the transition here to one that is happening here in the United States. The guys are heading to Mississippi, going to play the Sanderson Farms. And Wes, with this one, we've got a course that they should be able to attack pretty good and should be able to score pretty good.
Yeah, usually about 19 under on average. I think the last 10 years has been the winning score here. So plenty of birdies, probably about, you know, top 25 percentile in terms of easiest course on the tour. This, by the way, at Country Club of Jackson, par 72, 74, 61. But you don't really have a lot of threat off the tee, pretty non-penal rough. Pretty straightforward, not a lot of undulation or changing in direction with the courses. So you can grip it and rip it a little bit off the tee here.
Kelly, when you started to put together your model this week, I'm just assuming you at least put together some sort of something. What did you emphasize?
Yeah. Distance. Look, we're pretty, you know, pretty non-penal with the rough here. So I think distance off the tee, a factor here, looked at that and driving accuracy too. These aren't the biggest fairways in the world, but like I just said, rough, not all that penal, but, so I weighed off the tee stuff pretty heavily, but distance more important than accuracy this week. And then approach, par fives. You got 4 par fives. Like Wes just talked about, we're going to see a lot of birdies here, birdie or better par fives. And then honestly, I factored in Bermuda putting stats kind of more than normal, and usually did, you know, we talk about this occasionally, but looked at kind of longer term stuff, just the guys that overall perform pretty well in Bermuda. Just kind of some of the quotes I was reading up on from some of the former players really felt like the Bermuda guys would always say they're way more comfortable on Bermuda. We're talking about that being a factor here over the years. So that was something I plugged in, looked at a little bit more heavily than I usually do week to week.
Yeah, I did fairly simplistic, but I did just like, I basically just said, if you can hit it long and you can score, then basically you're going to be good in my model this week. Yeah. Tons of distance, tons of opportunity gained, birdie or better, you know, birdie or better, just straight up birdie or better percentage, par five scoring, like stuff like that. So basically I just went for scores and, you know, we'll see what happens with all of that. So Wes, after when it was all said and done, who made your betting card here for the Sanderson Farms?
Yeah, and I will say same model that I had in terms of off the tee, driving distance, approach, birdie or better, strokes gained, par five. So very similar to me. Top of the card was Patrick Fishburne, 35 to 1, best career finish. I think Matt, you actually had him in this event at the Pro Corps. We finished T3, second for off the tee over the last 24 rounds. I played him a couple times this summer, actually in those Midwest events. He played very well. Think he could continue to go well here. And then another guy with the numbers. I always play him on the numbers, but he never seems to quite contend when I play him. But I'm going to try him one more time. Chan Kim at 40 to 1, 6 for SG total, 8th on approach, 8th for around the green, 15th off the tee over his last 24 rounds. And then another little blast from the past, Charlie Hoffman, 55 to 1. Has been playing solid golf. Look, has his card again, 47 years old. Mm-hmm. So there's not a lot of chances for him to win, I think, very much anymore. But finished 6th here in 2021. So I played Charlie Hoffman. Henrik Norlander, he's kind of the Mr. Obvious play, which means he'll probably miss the cut. 70 to 1. Mm-hmm. If you look, his last 4 years here, 4th, 4th, 24th, and 2nd, lost in that playoff, that like 5-way playoff that Luke List eventually won last year. Chandler Phillips, 85 to 1, 4th for putting, 16th for strokes gained total over his last 24. And then Pearson Cootie, 110 to 1, 121 right now in the FedEx Cup. So he needs to move up a little bit to, you know, be safe about ensuring this card. He's made, you know, 9 cuts in a row. I think this could be a little bit of a sneaky spot to contend, because he did pop on a few of my things here. Like when I talked, like I looked at off the tee, especially for driving distance, pretty solid Bermuda putter as well on the Bermuda greens. I did weigh that a little bit. So, and birdie or better was in, I think, the top 12 in terms of guys in this field. So I thought Pearson Cootie made a lot of sense at 110 to 1.
Kelly, a little inside info from me. As you know, we have a bunch of professional golfers that live here in Las Vegas. A bunch of them out at the club on Monday out there. And I want to let you know, Justin Suh was one of the ones that was out there on Monday. And I want to let you know, he was hitting the ball much further and much straighter than I was.
Just no
so
way.
You know, yeah. Just so if you want to know, like just a little inside information, he was hitting it much, much further and much straighter than I was out there. There's your tip of the week.
Okay.
Did he make your card?
No, not at all. My slight pause there was just to confirm he was actually in the field because I didn't know why Matt was bringing up the story otherwise.
Well,
there
was a whole bunch of, you know, a lot of those guys live here and a lot of them were out just on Monday, like getting ready. I guess they were either flying out early today or whatever, late night, like Monday night or something like that. And, so Joseph, you know, a bunch of the guys, Joseph Bramlett was out there. He was out there. A bunch of dudes were all out there, and it was just a stripe show, which like it lets you know just these guys like aren't even close to sniffing the top 100 in
Joey
the world.
Brams. I want to see him drive the ball. I could crack open a six pack and just sit on the tee box and watch him drive for a while.
It honestly sounded like someone was firing a 30-06 every time he hit the ball with his driver. Like it was just it was ridiculous.
When it sounds nothing like you hitting a golf ball, yes, you know it's a different level of golfer.
That's how I felt. I think it was a couple of years ago. I went out to the Summit Club when they had the CJ Cup event out here due to COVID. They weren't having it over in Asia. And I was following a group. It happened to be Johnny Vegas, who's one of the bigger hitters on the tour. And you talk about it sounds like gunfire, literally, when he's hitting the ball off the tee. Because I wasn't even going because we were just kind of walking. And he was teeing off. And, so we stopped. And then I was happened to be looking the other way. And he was on the tee right behind me. Man, it sounded like a bazooka, off the tee with these guys. So Vegas, by the way, another guy that's very high on the driving distance. Cam Champ. All those guys, and you mentioned Bramlett, he's up there as well.
Well, the Vegas to Vegas transition, I'll just go right to my card because Johnny Vegas did make my
card.
There we go. Three outrights for me this week. Matt, I feel like you've brought this up before. Just a side note really quick. I'm going to screw up at some point between Patrick Fishburne and Jacob Bridgman. So I don't know why, but their names just like blend together to me. And I definitely did. When Wes just brought up Fishburne, I'm like, oh no, he rated out high for me, and he did in one, and then I went to another sites that I thought he rated out high on as well, and no, that was Bridgman instead. So yeah, I'm already screwing those two guys up. Almost everybody that Wes said did rate out pretty highly for me this week. I do think this is, you know, we're in the time of year we back off our bottles a little bit more, though. These guys aren't playing week in and week out. Looking at some longer term data, and this is it's going to be a birdie fest. So this is just a three pack outrights for me this week. Johnny Vegas, like I said, he is one of them. Played him at 35-1. I think he kind of consistently rated out as the top player in the field for me. T32 at the Pro Corps. Going back to that win that he had at the 3M. It's just, I know a lot of the data is being pulled from that, and that's why he's rating out so highly. But kind of everything that I weighed him as important, he was pretty high up there for. So, we talked about that, he's not a guy that wins very often on the tour. But, I'll go back to him here. 35-1, long enough for me. JJ Spahn, another guy, same number, right around that 30 range. I got him at 35-1. He was a guy that kind of leaped out to me. Does feel like one of the more class players in this field too. Not the greatest field on the planet. T26 at the Pro Corps, T3 at the Wyndham, T9 at 3M. So he has been playing some quality golf if you go back the past couple months here. Not a bomber off the tee, but kind of checks every other box that I'm looking for in this term, including a accurate driver off the tee box. And then, Wes, I'm with you on the Hoff, baby. Let's go. Good vibes with the Hoff, back healthy, looking good here these past couple tournaments. And really kind of stat profile of what you're looking for. He kind of fits the mold of everything you're looking for. He's a birdie maker, can get hot, can get hot with the putter at times. We've seen that. We've seen that some of that recently. Long off the tee. Great, always great with the iron. So see if the Hoff can keep it rolling. I'm with you on that one, buddy.
So I, typically kind of like I do this time of year, considering how much time we have to put into to football handicapping, I kind of just lean a little bit more heavily on the model, actually, because I don't have the time to really get in and go absolutely bonkers with everything. And so everybody y'all named are all the guys that ended up basically, you know, somewhere inside the top 15 of the model for me. I think if there was the only, if I was ever going to play a gut play, I think the only one I might look at might be Ricky Fowler in this field, where, like, you know, we're like a year removed from him playing well, but then he just went disaster level, yeah. You know, over the last year, apparently did a whole bunch of swing work and all this, coming back with a new putter and all this stuff like that or whatever. So I don't know, if I was going to play a gut play, Ricky Fowler might be that guy, but it's funny. Y'all mentioned stuff. So, you know, the number three overall guy in my model, Patrick Fishburne, he gets a play. Number four overall guy in my model, Chan Kim, he gets a play. So these guys that are showing up on y'all stuff as well, going just right down the model. I played five outrights, just basically going right down the model outside of the top two, because Keith Mitchell and Johnny Vegas were just too short for me in this one. But those were actually one and two in the model. Hayden Springer also made the card. Mm-hmm. Wes, I'm going to get it. One of us is going to get it right on Mac Meissner. Like, I mean, it's like, so
he, by the way, was my last cut.
Yeah. And, so and, one of us is getting it right. Like, I mean, yeah. Like he's sitting there looking at me in the face at sixth on the model. And it's just like, okay, what am I going to do? One of us is going to get it right on this guy. So off we go. Mac makes the card yet again this week. And Kelly, same JJ Spawn. So literally yeah. went right down the model. And again, outside of the top two. So Mitchell and Vegas got pulled off for me just for the odds that were attached to them. But outside of that, it went Fishburne, Kim, Springer, Meissner, and then JJ Spawn. So that is the outright card for me this week. I'll probably sprinkle maybe like a top 10 on all those guys just to see if I can't, you know, at least try to break even this week if one of them can get there. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm looking. And that's, again, that's also the top of my model. If y'all are wondering, I mean, like if you want to go a little bit further, it made both of their cards. 10th overall is Charlie Hoffman. So he was just the cutoff basically for me. Seamus Power, Patton Kizzire, Patrick Rogers, Mav McNeely, Eric Cole, Adam Svensson, Nick Hardy, CT Pan, and Joe Highsmith is.
Yes.
Joe Highsmith is inside the top 20 of the model. This
I would say McNeely, I got pretty close to playing. Ended up leaving him off. I'm kind of with you. So him and that, I mean, I think anybody listening to this, and I know especially on the numbers game, I've got caught a lot of shit for it. But yeah, Keith Mitchell not on my card, and that is thank God for the odds. Because, like, he's at the top of the board. That made it kind of easier to leave him off because, man, he was a top 20 machine. I mean, he still was probably one of my better earners for the season going back this year, but not exactly hitting these past couple months and probably the past three or four times I played him. But, man, that putter, it's so bad. It's so bad that I just can't. I think I'll be staying away from Keith for
Guys,
a while.
I just looked up Joe Highsmith, and think I might have to put a play in because he's left-handed and wears a bucket hat. So, like, I mean, like, we got a left-handed bucket hat wearer. Okay. I mean, that might be worth, like, at least a tiny little.
I have another note on Joe Highsmith, too, to add to that. He is the first golfer in PGA Tour history to record three hole-in-ones in one season, which he has done this season. Highsmith.
Kelly?
On the PGA Tour?
Yes. First golfer to record three hole-in-ones in one season.
How many events did he play in? That's impressive. I think that part's even probably more impressive because there's way he played in the max amount of tournaments.
He's right now, by the way, and he has a lot of motivations too, because I think he's 150 in the FedEx Cup, exactly on the number. Oh, wow. If you get 125 to 150, you do get conditional status, you know, so you do get in at least some events. You just don't get like the full playing privileges, the 125s, but
guys, you know, we often say putting is streaky, and we're just kind of like, you know, like putting streaky, we'll take it into account, but it's more of a tiebreaker. I guess unless you're Joe Highsmith, in which, like, you have lost on putting in 13 of 15 tournaments, including 12 straight tournaments that he lost putting. So he might actually just be one of those guys that's a horrible putter. Like, he might actually just be a terrible putter.
We've had horrible putters win here, though, before. Sergio Garcia has won here. There's a couple guys that have been team no putt that have won here. Sergio and Cam Champ and... couple other guys. There have been a couple great putters, though, that have won here, like Mac Hughes a couple years ago.
I don't know if I've ever seen a guy, just considering that sometimes putting can just, like, you can just be feeling it. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy lose 12 straight tournaments putting. This might be a first for me. I don't know if I've ever seen it before.
Because you got to think, it's like, okay, if you're a bad Bermuda, it's like you're not going to be on Bermuda for 12 straight weeks. You're going to go to Bentgrass at least one of these weeks, or Poa one of these weeks. But
what's funny about that, Matt, is like you don't even have to look at any stats. If you just pull up what his results are on the season, they basically scream to you, this guy is a high variance guy, because it is. He's teed it up 20 times. He's missed the cut 12 events. But then he's got like a T6 in Puerto Rico, T13 at the Pro Corps, he's got, what is this? This is 4 top 25 finishes in the 12 cuts that he's made. So it's either going well or it's going real bad, I guess.
Listen, you can get him at like 125 to 1. So, I mean, like, whatever. He's left-handed and wears a bucket hat. So, I mean, like, you know, that's what else do I have to say, right? He's left-handed and wears a bucket hat. It'll be a fun guy to root for. Guys, as always, everything we do absolutely free here on the podcast. I do appreciate you subscribing, rating, reviewing, doing all the little stuff you can to help this thing find more ear holes out there. And all, of course, all of our picks you can find over on VSiN.com as well. For Wes, for Kelly, I am Matt. Good luck on all your Alfred Dunhill and Sanderson Farm picks this week.